Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 22nd chapter, Pritumaras, meeting with the Kumaras. Text number 53. Eva Madhyatma Yogena Karmani Anu Samacharan Putran Utpadayam Asha Pancharchesi Atma Samatan. Bolye. Evam. Thus. Adhyatma Yogena. By the means of Bhakti Yoga. Karmani. Activities. Anu. Always. Samacharan. Executing. Putran. Sons. Utpadayam. Asa. Begotten. Pancha. Five. Archisi. And his wife Archie. Atma. Own. Samatam, according to his desire. Being situated in the liberated position of devotional service. I'll do it afterwards. New York style, not Lima style. Being situated in the liberated position of devotional service, Prithu Maharaj not only performed all fruitive activities, but also begot five sons by his wife Archie. Indeed, his sons were begotten according to his own desire. Please repeat. Being situated in the liberated position,
being situated in the liberated position
of devotional service,
Prithu
Maharaj not only performed all fruitive activities, but also begot five sons by his wife. Archie. Indeed. All his sons were begotten according to his own desire. Purports by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder, charter of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So Prabhupada Kida. As a householder, Prithu Maharaj had five sons by his wife Archie. Archie. Shiva Gopinath Kida. Lalita Devi Kida. As a householder, Prithu Maharaj had five sons by his wife Archie. And all these sons were begotten as he desired them. They were not born whimsically or by accident. How many of us here are actually sexual accidents? Yeah. Yes, that also. How one can beget children according to one's own desire is practically unknown in the present age, Kali Yuga. In this regard, the secret of success depends on the parents' acceptance of the various purificatory methods known as sangskaras. The first sangskara, the garbhadan sangskar, or child-begetting sangskar, is compulsory, especially for the higher castes, the brahmanas and the kshatriyas. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, sex life, which is not against religious principles, is Krishna himself. And according to religious principles, when one wants to beget a child, he must perform the garbhadan sangskar before having sex. The mental state of the father and mother before sex will certainly affect the mentality of the child to be begotten. A child who is begotten out of lust may not turn out to be as the parents desire. As stated in the Shastras, yata yoni or yata bijam. Yata yoni indicates the mother. Yata bijam indicates the father. If the mental state of the parents is prepared before they have sex, the child which they will beget will certainly reflect their mental condition. It is therefore understood by the words Atma Sam Matam that both Prithu Maharaj and Archie underwent the Garbhadang Sangskara, Garbhadan purificatory process before begetting children. Thus they begot all their sons according to their desires and purified mental states. Prithu Maharaj did not beget his children out of lust, nor was he attracted to his wife for sense gratificatory purposes. He begot the children as a grihastha for the future administration of his government all over the world. Jai. It's very interesting, right? So all of his sexual relations were politically motivated. Yeah, it's very, very detached, mechanical, practical, you know, process, you know, for dealing with the material world like that, right? There's no romance. There's a pleasure, love, these kind of things. No, it's just, you know, best use of a bad bargain. Yeah? Prabhupada says the whole material world has been awarded to us as punishment. And these morons, these fools are trying to enjoy it. Like that, right? You know, people are hitting you with sticks as punishment, and you're saying, oh, hit me here, a little more here, oh, a little more there, no, some more there, like that. You know, people think this guy's completely mad. You know? But that's our situation in the material world. And we're discussing this, the Isopanishad. It describes in three mantras, avidya, avidya, and suavidya, right? Yeah. People are, you know, engaged in proper activities. They understand what this material world is. They act properly. They get out of this place. That's vidya. Other people are ignorant and they think it's a place to enjoy. So then, you know, Tarzan sees Jane and like that. I don't know, something, throws her over his shoulder and she screams and they have sexual relations like that. Okay, finished, you know. But then, Isopanishad says, worse than that is the Vedabhata Ratas. They educate people how to have more sophisticated sex life. You know, Tarzan has to go to school, right? Has to become a lawyer. And after that, Tarzan has to have such a complicated courtship process with Jane and take her out to the movies and buy hamburgers for her, you know, for 3 weeks. And then on and on. Finally, they get married and they have to buy an expensive apartment in New York City on the 25th story with a penthouse, and then they have to buy a special bed, and on like that. And then they have sex like that, right? And it's glorified in so many ways. You know, Romeo and Juliet, what else we have? All these unlimited stories glorifying sex life, right? So this is cultured stupidity. And you don't understand what this place is for, but now, you know, you're trying to develop this whole culture of ignorance like that. And so people in this modern world, Prabhupada says, they have the slightest idea how to engage in sexual relations, you know, and produce children, you know, by their desire. Because they're complicated, all these complications for this basic misunderstanding is that I am the enjoyer. Bhoktaram yagnatapasyam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Okay, that's the Krishna conscious attitude. The other one is, Ishwara aham bhogi, siddham balavan sukhi, like that. And so, it's culturally ignorance. Actually, you know, you could talk about this purport. There's so many points here, no? Talk about it for a long time. And probably speaking, it's probably better for Grihastha, or Grihastha Acharya, to discuss this, you know. I know nothing about these things. Anyway, yeah. Something, you know. But that's the conclusion here, the conclusion of the whole thing. Is that he engaged in these activities, you know what it probably says, he begot children as a grihastha for the future administration of his government. Like that. All over the world. Like that. Yeah? Yeah. So we can take this actually, practically speaking, to ISKCON. You know, somebody may be an administrator in ISKCON, right? So many administrative positions, temple president. People in charge of different portfolios, like the Bhaktivedanta Institute, Bhaktivedanta College, what else? And GBC secretaries, you know. And everybody should be looking ahead, you know, for the future administration of ISKCON. And, okay, why not? You can have biological children. Temple presidents can have sons and be temple president for 20 years and their son can take over. Why not? It's a very nice system. people appreciating, no? Yeah. People appreciating that, you know, the president's son's a nice guy, and, you know. We were in India, we were organizing the Second World Congress for the Synthesis of Science and Religion in Bengal. And we had the fortune to work with one Vaishya named H.P. Kanoria, Hari Prasad Kanoria. And they've been Vaishyas for, I don't know, like 25, 35 generations as far as they knew. You know. And he had this was the seventh biggest insurance company in India, like that. You know. And he still publishes a magazine called the Business Times of India. Like that. So, you know, it's a big Vaishya. And in his office, he was there. He was kind of like over the hill, starting to diminish his business activities. His sons were in the same office, starting to take full responsibility of all the different business activities. And the grandson was on the floor playing with a truck, like that. So you could see all the generations of Vaishyas there. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like that. It was a planned activity. And then the comptroller, what you call it here, the head accountant, you know, for the business, like that. Their family had been the head accountant for their businesses for the same thing, for 25, 30 generations, you know. And the guy who was cleaning the bathroom, the janitors, you know, concierges, whatever. They had been the janitors, their families, for 25, 30 generations, like that. So, you know, the guy can't say, oh, I'm gonna fire you, like that. You're not a good janitor. You're fired. What do you mean I'm fired? It's not like it's our occupational duty. It's our religion, you know, like that. It's our dharma. You're in charge of the business. He's the accountant, and we're the janitors. Janitor, yeah. Concierge. Yeah. That's our dharma, like that. So same way, this is, you know, actual human civilization. The main point thing here is that everything should be simple. You know, we're actually like, you know, living entities in the spiritual world. And somehow or other, there's this like little box, you know, you can look inside of it, and there's this chess game. There's a chess game inside like that, you know. And so you can participate in the chess game if you want to. But you don't actually touch the pieces. You say, you know, white queen, you know, white queen bishop pawn 4 to white queen knight 3. And somebody moves the chess pieces for you. And that's what we're doing. We don't actually contact the material nature. It's done through the life airs like that, through the super soul. We just desire the things like that. But some people are really absorbed in the chess game, and they think that they're the doers. They think all these things, I am these pieces, I am this and that. You know? And other people are doing it to try and communicate to other people that it's not a reality. You know, that actually you have to detach yourself from this. You know? So this is Maharaj Prithu's position. Some people are attached. How's it go? Akama, Sarvakama, Mokshakama, right? Three kinds of people. Those people who are detached and are therefore acting in this world for the education of others. Those people who are attached, right? And those people who, Akama, Sarvakama, Mokshakama, they want to become detached. And so I guess most of us here are Mokshakama, right? You want to become detached, you know. So, Tivena Bhakti Yogena. You should engage in Bhakti Yoga. It's probably saying that. You know. So Maharaj Prithu specifically example is somebody who's showing us how to get detached. You know. Gopakumar, in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, he's going higher and higher. He comes to Vishnu Loka. And he's very happy there with Lakshmi. They, you know, Vishnu's 16 years old. Lakshmi's like a young girl also, and she's always treating him just like her son. Very affectionate. And then he begins to, but he's always not feeling quite happy there, you know, because he's from Goloka. He's not quite happy, you know. So Narada Muni and Vishnu understands this, so he inspires Narada Muni. And Narada Muni comes to Gopakumar and he says, come here, you know. He says, you know, Vishnu understands that you don't really belong here. He's very happy with you here, but he understands that really you should go on like that to Goloka. And there you'll feel at home like that. And so he inspired me to, you know, come and talk to you and tell you you should go back to Goloka, like that. And he did it on a day when he's not present. He's not here. He had to go someplace, you know, so you would, because otherwise he knows you couldn't leave, actually, you know, without him, if he was actually present. So you should go to Goloka. So Gopakumar talks about it a little bit, and he says, okay, you know, I understand. He's happy and sad at the same time. He says, well, how do I get there? And Narada Muni says, well, over there is a pathway to Ayodhya, so go. And he's surprised. You say, I should go to Goloka, but now you're showing me the pathway to Ayodhya. Then Narada Muni laughs and he says, well, because that's the fastest way to get there, right? Fastest way to Goloka from Vaikuntha is through Ayodhya, right? So the fastest way out of the material world is to become involved in it, right? Let me just renounce. Let me eat ashes, one handful of ashes every Sunday feast, right? Let me breathe air. Let me, you know, spit when I see the opposite sex. You know, handsome man, like that. You know, beautiful woman, like that. My first temple president, Bhaktadas, when he joined ISKCON, he heard about that. He decided to do it. He said whenever you have a lusty thought about the opposite sex, he would turn his head and spit. He said after about 5 hours, he had no more saliva left. he had to realize, my God, I'm just like, you know, my Western conditioning is just like, you know, horrible, you know, like that. But yeah, so this is the point. The best way, the human body is like a boat, right? You've got this boat, okay? The sails are like the senses, right? And the modes of nature are like the wind. So if we put somebody on as a captain, like Srila Prabhupada, then he can use that wind, those different passions, to stimulate our senses to take us to the spiritual world. So that the best thing is to use your passions like that. You know, if you have a passion for writing, write. If you've got a passion for gardening, do it. You know, whatever your particular, you know, indication is like that, inclination like that, don't try and suppress them. You know, it's not only difficult, it's also not a good way for self-realization. So he's showing us, you know, then do fruitive activities as a king, you know, enjoy life with opulent palace, wealth. Before we were here, we were in Tennessee. In the Tagore Sundar, and we went to visit one Patel, one Vaishya family there, and the person we're visiting was the father, grandfather, and very nice, very aristocratic. He's an initiated devotee, doesn't speak much English, but we were following like this electronic robot thing. You know, turn left here, turn right here, and it took us right into this very new, you know, expensive housing complex with these little different palaces on the hills like that, maybe 35 or 40 of them. I don't know how much they cost. Maybe like $3 million each or something like that, you know. Then we pulled up in front of the house, and then we started going up the stairs, and he's waiting at the top of the stairs very, you know, congenially and aristocratically for us. We went up like that, you know. So finally we got there, and he opened the door for us to come inside. I was like shocked because right there was this wooden elephant, like about, you know, this big. It was like an elephant, like that solid wood elephant, you know. Then he took us to his puja room, and there was Krishna and so opulent. Then into the sitting room, and it was just like these, you know, honestly speaking, this palace doesn't look very good compared to the interior there. It was just these beautiful architraves and, you know, mirrors so big and beautiful they couldn't hang on the wall. They had to sit on things like that, you know. So you saw how, you know, Indians, you know, when they have money, you know, they know how to use it like that. You know? So, okay, this is what we do. You dovetail your passions for the service of Krishna. Then all of his beautiful ladies, very fine ladies in the house, they were coming out with silver trays, with glasses of water for everybody. You know? He took a little water, then after they collected the trays, the water, and went away like that, you know, and said very pleasing things, like that, you know. So, you know, this is what we should do, right? Everything. Like that. Okay, you want to have sex like that. Like a beast, a gross animal. Like that. Attracted, you know, like this. Okay. But then do it for a certain reason. Yeah. We mentioned this. You can be laying bricks like an animal, or you can be, you know, considering yourself making a livelihood when I'm doing making money. Or you can be building a great cathedral, right? We gave an analogy before this week, you know. Three people doing the same thing. One guy is just absorbed in his gross work. He hates it. Next guy is thinking about his family, making money. This is my job. And the third guy is actually absorbed in the fact that we're making a great church. And someday I'm going to show my children how I helped to build this great cathedral. Like that. Yeah? So, yeah, it's the consciousness. So when we engage in all these material activities, and here he's talking about the most entangling material activity, sexual relations, yeah, that has a meaning like that. And this meaning goes all the way to Goloka. Okay? I'm going to produce children who are going to take over the administration like that. properly. They'll have the proper karma, right, to do it. They'll have the proper education. And beyond that, the whole purpose of this will be daiva, that people can be involved in material activities, social activities, yeah, and at the same time be progressing to Goloka, right? The king, amongst men, the king is, yeah, he's an incarnation of Krishna. Among men, I am the monarch, like that. And so he has that potency. If we have a proper relationship with him, we can see. In that perspective, yes, he's God, he's Krishna. And so we can learn how to have a relationship with Krishna, like that. So, other than that, if we're not going to have till president or GBC secretary or portfolio manager is not going to have children, then you should be thinking, you know, I'm going to be president here for so many years, but one of my main responsibilities is training people, right, to take over, and as soon as possible. Yeah, not that I stay there to the very end with, you know, gray hair and have to come to all the artiques in the wheelchair with this and that, you know. I'm the president. I'm GBC secretary. No, as soon as possible. You know, Prabhupada did that, right? Prabhupada came and opened temples. He didn't stay there and be the president. As soon as possible, he put somebody else who was, practically speaking, unqualified in many ways in charge and said, okay, do it. And he left. Right? Yeah. So same way in our administration for social administration is a principle, is we should always be thinking about, you know, continuity and then training people, right? Qualified. There are several projects, so you see in ISKCON a variety of projects, some places where it didn't go on and it's created havoc when the leader left, you know, by different reasons. Other places where it went on, for example, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, when he left his body, there was practically speaking no perturbation in his zone. You know, everybody just took positions, went on like that, some adjustment. Yeah, there's some, you know, loss like that, but so many ways people just adjusted like that, you know. Other places, when the big central leader left, he hadn't trained people properly and it became a chaos. You know, so much internal, physical internal violence. You know, people, you know, coups, and people breaking into offices, you know, with one group at 5 o'clock in the morning and seizing control of the computers and the bank accounts. So that physically happened like that, you know. And the other group, rushing on to change the passwords and running off with all the vehicles, like that. And, you know, yeah. So this is, you know, a very nice lesson here, that his whole purpose in dealing with the material world was to create a certain atmosphere like that, and he wasn't concerned with sense gratification. Yeah, he was simply experiencing something better than sense gratification. Of course, sense gratification is there. Without gratifying the senses, they won't work. You know, Prabhupada says that. There must be some salt in the food, otherwise you can't digest it. So there has to be some gratification in having sexual relations, otherwise, you know, there's no motive. The body is what will be motivated. You know? It's just like eating prasadam. I will take prasadam, but from this point on, I will have no sense gratification in taking prasadam. Like that. You know, I will just eat tasteless, colorless, you know, formless prasadam from now on, like that. Yeah, it won't work. Your body won't react. Your body has to smell it. It has to taste it. That feel it. That stimulates different kinds of enzymes. In certain correspondence like that, and then your body digests it. So sense gratification is there. It's a very important point, you know. But it's all for this higher purpose like that, you know. We don't become absorbed in it. That's lust. We don't become absorbed in it we don't make the senses the deity of our worship. We make the senses a transparent biomedia. At that point, we practically forget them, you know. Are you always conscious of the fact you're wearing glasses? No, you've forgotten about it. They're transparent, you know, like that. Yeah. So, this would be some comments. Being situated in the liberated position of devotional service, Prithu Maharaj not only performed all fruitive activities, different yajnas, but also begot 5 sons by his wife. Indeed, all his sons were begotten according to his desire. So, any comments? Questions? Complaints? It must be. Yes, sir. Yeah. Okay.
What if you can't find the next generation to train? They're like a qualified person. You also have to have some qualification to become the next temple person.
Hansa Duda answered that question. He said, Prabhupada made his generals out of mud. He was an intense person. Okay. Yeah. That's why he was one of Prabhupada's generals. You know, so it's very intense. You know, you know him? Know him? Very intense person. He's coming back. It's interesting now. So many of these senior devotees who kind of went away are coming back. Hansaduda is leading kirtans now. Bhavananda Prabhu was there, Prabhupada's festival, like that. Rameshwar is setting quotas for sankirtan devotees in the New York temple. And it's just like, everybody, I mention this and people say, yeah, so and so too, like that. You know? Chandika Pandit says, the king should understand that whenever money and men accumulate in some place, either by the arrangement of God or by the arrangement of man, something is about to happen. So anyway, all these very senior, older devotees are coming back. You know. Yes, okay. Yeah.
It says here, so Prabhupada says that the mental state of the father and mother in the process has a certain effect on the mentality of the child and the daughter. So, change of mentality means the soul will be differently according to the mentality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, no, it's just like...
Yeah.
So you and your wife are going to go to some program, so you get in the sports car with two seats and go off. They say, but oh no, let's bring our aunt and uncle like that. Okay, so we have to use the other car. Like that, you know? So your subtle body, you know, your mentality creates a certain... Like you say, a certain filter, a certain possibility. And then Krishna may even want to send a certain soul, but he can't do it because you're created another situation like that. So you create another mentality, then that allows him to send, you know, somebody else like that. I'm almost over my jet lag. It takes about 4 or 5 days. And this, you know, your body is subtle body and stuff like that. It's not that, you know, flexible. You think, your mind changes like this and that. Yeah, to some degree. But a little farther down, your subtle body is actually more permanent than your gross body. Right? You know? You could have the same intelligence, subconscious, buddhi, attitude for many lifetimes. Right? Same attitude towards things. You get different bodies and you have the same attitude about things, you know. So, you know, it takes some time. The Garbhadhan Sangskar, I think in ISKCON, probably established chanting 50 rounds before conception, things like that. But actually it has to go on before that for months. Yeah? You know? Actually, Prabhupada's talking about his life, and he said that in Vedic culture, one couple, they're thinking, well, we want to have children, you know, this is our duty, responsibility, our necessity, you know, so many ways. Okay. So they go to the astrologer, in the village, and the astrologer goes to their charts and looks at it and says, okay, this is a good day for you to try and conceive children. So the mentality and also the mentality and the karma, which influences your mentality. On this day, you're both going to be extremely angry or something or spaced out, you know, so it's not a good day. This day is a very good day for this activity. So astrology is a great science. I've heard the Prabhupada said it's the most sophisticated material science, astrology. So he looks at all these things, looks at the process, the goal, the objective, what's going on. Okay, he said, this day is a good day, you know. Then something like after they go out and his wife is asking, you know, what's like that, he's like that. So Prabhupada says it becomes an open secret in the village, that everybody knows that this man and this woman are going to have, you know, try to get a child on this day. So everybody in the whole village knows that, you know. That it's an open secret like that, you know. And so Prabhupada said it's not like cats and dogs. They go off someplace in secret and have sex where nobody knows, and then when they have the children, they eat them or kill them like that. He said, no, it's a whole social thing like that too. So this whole society is helping you have a good mentality, you know. And it's like, oh, damn it, we have children. Oh, my God, I'm pregnant, you know, like that. No, this is the exact opposite. Is that there are people, everybody's happy. Oh, wow, we have nice children coming like that, and it's cause for, you know, jubilation and so on, you know. So it's to say it's a whole big topic like that, you know. But the mentality, yeah, is very important, you know. And, you know, astrology, one devotee, Dan Doerr, he was studying astrology. And he went like, you know, he was once every Thursday in the afternoon, this astrologer had four students coming. So he went there and he gave them this date, you know, say, calculate the horoscope, the chart, and the, you know, the qualities of this living entity. So he went through the whole thing and it was like, you know, very just, you know, dirty guy, practically speaking, almost never bathed like that, you know, never cut his hair or nails or anything, brush his teeth, like, you know. And was conceiving children just by you know, whenever there was agitation and facility like that, having sexual relations, producing progeny, just could become angry at any kind of stimulation, you know, eating, you know, uncontrollable, what's the word, pushes of the belly like that. So it was like, it was pretty, it was incredible, you know. And he's like, who is this? Whose birthday was this? And he said, it's my dog. It's my dog, right? So that was, you know, somebody born in that hour had to be a dog. He was making this point that you can check somebody saw this. You go to the astrologer and say, well, this is my birthday. What's the thing? He goes like this. He say, no, this is not yours. Ask your mother again. Ask your mother again. It's impossible for a human being to have been born at this time. Oh, yeah? Yeah. There's no human being could have been born at this time. So it was a dog. He had, like, you know, uncontrollable pressure in the belly. He never cut his hair, never brushed his teeth. When he had sex desire, he just accomplished it. He had no memory, you know. It's like, yeah, it's like you're born as a dog, you know. So, you know, so the time and everything else is very controlled in terms of the mentality and everything else like that. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought the scientists would say that there's a human being being born at every
maybe, you know, yeah. But actually, I saw one time, a long time ago, like maybe, I don't know, 1957 or something, 58, somebody had done like a scientific investigation of astrology. And for example, it was like some like, you know, war was going on in Europe, like, I don't know, 18th century or something, 1792, the Battle of the Roses or something, you know. And the actual astrology was at that point that the aggressive army could not go beyond a certain point, you know, like that. And the guy did this analysis, and the battle was going on the entire day with the superior forces attacking and being repulsed. And the entire day they could not go beyond this latitude like that, you know. And he went through a whole series of things like that and showing that there was this actually strong historical scientific evidence that when it's done properly, because that's the thing, it's very difficult, you know, that you come up with different results like that. So this may be the suspicion that maybe there's, you know, human beings being born every moment. Of course, then the question is like if they're human beings or not, you know, like that, you know. But beyond that, that's what, you know, the suggestion is that sometimes it gets, you know, and maybe, you know, this dog lugna only occurs once every 20, 30 years or something like that, or it's only a window of like 40 minutes or something like that, you know, so on. But this is science, you know. And if somebody can do the science properly, an astrologer, you know, then we can go ahead and submit it to, you know, test. You can do tests like that. That's, you prove it actually is a fact. Like that. Yeah. So, the other... You know, most of the Bhagavatam, from my comprehension, is Divi Varnashram Dharma. It's showing us how to follow Varnashram Dharma to achieve these divine results like that. You know, spiritual results. And so, Prabhupada said... Sukhdamana Maharaj had a whole curriculum he designed for a college in Berkeley. never went on, but Prabhupada said, yes, very nice. And then Prabhupada made some suggestions, and he said, for political science, we will study the speeches of Maharaj Prithu. Yeah. For physics, science, we'll study Kapila. He made those adjustments like that. So Maharaj Prithu's activities, he's a Shakti Vesh avatar, very, very worthwhile. Yeah, for studying, so much work to do like that, right? You know, so much. We have so many books with so much content to be developed and be investigated like that. You know, in comparison to our sources of knowledge, Western knowledge is very small in some areas. But even, you know, Vastu, Granit, what else? You know, Ayurveda, Gandharva Veda. You know. You get so many things like that, which are there. They're there. You can study these things. So much to actually learn. Practical arts as well as ontology and these higher philosophical things like that. Yeah. any final? Okay, here it is. The ultimate comment.
Krishna has 1,108 wives,
yeah.
And yeah, with each wife, he had 10 children.
Yeah.
Each child had also 10 children.
Yeah.
So, how big was Krishna's family?
It goes like quadrillion or something like that. The calculation is there in the Krishna book. But it says that the number of tutors was something like, I forgot, it was like, you know, just to train them all was something like, I forgot, some big number. But of course, this is in the Dwapara Yuga, right? It's at the end of the, you know, it's just like you go through these seasons, your heart's going through cycles, your stomach's going through cycles, the days are going through cycles, the years are going through cycles, the galaxy is rotating at a cyclic rate, the whole universe is going through cycles. So in the age of Satya, everything's very fine. You know, thoughts have results. If you think things, if some plant, you say, that's a nasty plant, I don't like that plant. It has a reaction right away. Yeah? Yeah. And so then you come down at different ages, and the Dwapara Yuga words, you know, had an effect. The world was so fine that just by sound you could produce effects like that. And space was more ample. Right? The space was bigger. Space was bigger. Yeah. Even if you're a mathematician, you know that, what is it? As I understand it, talking to a mathematician, hyperbolic space accommodates more things than Euclidean space. Euclidean space is points, lines, and planes. Hyperbolic space is composed of hyperbolas, saddle shapes, like that. Like a cut a potato, it's flat. It's like a planes, Euclidean plane. Put it in ghee, you fry it, it forms a saddle, right? Because it has to accommodate more stuff. And you can do that with a saddle shape more than you can with a planet shape. But try and think of that. You know, what's the shortest distance between here and there in hyperbolic space? Like this. Yes, but you can do that. You can generate spaces like that. So in Dwapara Yuga, you know, space was bigger. You know? So therefore having more people like that and everything else wasn't a myth. That's just the way things were. And for us, it's like cockroaches trying to understand, you know, rats. You know, it was like. Yeah.
I don't understand how big that goshala must have been.
Yeah, but again, it was a hyperbolic goshala. Yeah. With hyperbolic cowherd boys and stuff. Yeah. No, it's just you. Just again, you just going as you go into higher sciences, you begin to see all these things are true, and they're all quite. Reasonable in terms of higher knowledge and stuff. I was reading the Bhagavatam, everything else, and then strange theories, and I read that. It's actually, the things I learned in karate, which are kind of inconceivable to Western science, it was explaining them. And I began to realize, wow, this is actually, it's inconceivable, not because it's stupid, because it's higher than our level of intelligence, I think. But anyway, now we have to stop. Shri Prabhupada ki. Mahaprasadam ki. Kadasi Vrata ki.